and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till on you. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be
encourage you today in faith, and I'm calling our teaching today Our Faith and Confession for the Last Days. Our Faith and Confession for the Last Days. And I think we're going to find as we continue to overcome, we continue to keep our eyes on the Lord, we're going to really appreciate and understand God's word, the deeper life, and why he's been giving us this over all these years. There are times when you suddenly become aware of what God has done and has been doing, and you begin to understand and appreciate why he's doing and he's done what he's done. And it really, I want to emphasize some of that tonight. I want us to really understand that our labors are not in vain. Our commitment to the word, the meetings, coming regularly and listening to God's word is not in vain. It's all building blocks in our life that we can stand in these last days. I was really aware of this, you know, as I was preparing this today. And that's why I'm calling it Our Faith and Confession for the Last Days. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. And we'll look at verses 12 and 13 of Revelation 22. Verses 12 and 13. And he says here, right at the end of the book of Revelation, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." So the Lord comes, and he comes with rewards. And he gives to everyone according to his or her work. Did you know that you do a good work when you come into the meetings? When we come online like this? This is all part of the good work that the Lord is looking for and faithfulness that he's looking for. And so it's not in vain. Sometimes it's not always easy to get online, or we have work, or there are other things, other commitments. And of course, we're also aware how the enemy tries to keep us away from the word of God and that living bread for our lives to be built spiritually. We're always under attack. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And all the attacks of the enemy, if we did but know are stepping stones in which we can be stronger and more rooted in the Lord. That is the wonderful mystery of God, how he uses and turns everything, and even the enemy and what he's up to, and he turns it to our good, to strengthen us, to help us to stand in these last days. And why I'm calling this teaching tonight, Our Faith and Confession for the Last Days, is paramount. Because the deeper life has rewards for those who are faithful. We have made it very clear from the scriptures over the years how there are rewards for the overcomer, and privileges and places in heaven eternally for those who overcome all things, who walk by faith and obedience and trusting in God, and particularly now in the last days as the bride makes herself ready. I know I've said this before, but if there were any time in history of which we're living now, we are living in the worst depraved times, I think, in history. We are seeing the falling away. There have been degrees of this over in time and history. We've seen how man has rebelled, but we have not seen on a level that we're seeing now in these days the depravity, the mass falling away. It's global. We have not experience how we are seeing the powers of darkness moving over the world like a paralysis. So often in the past, it's just been a certain area or a country or a certain empire, but this is global. And of course, we hear that word so often today, global, globalization, and so on. And of course, that is exactly what it is. And we are probably living in the most godless, pagan times that the world has ever seen. And we are experiencing the hardness of man's heart, where he's reprobate. Minds are seared. No thoughts for God or whatever it is. Doing exactly what he wants, fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Jesus spoke of all of this. The Bible is absolutely clear on this in the last days, how far the world will fall. So here we are, just a remnant, looking to the Lord, desiring to follow the Lamb. How can God bring a remnant to himself? How can he have a people who will walk by faith and not by sight? How can he have a people who will keep a confession when the world is confessing everything else? How can God do this? How can God have a bride that makes herself ready in probably the most deprived place on the earth, where it seems no one is interested in the Lord? No one wants to follow God. And those that do confess the Lord live in complete denial, compromise. So can God redeem? Is there anything to redeem? Is it too far gone? Well, brothers and sisters, take comfort. You're a sign. You're a sign that it has not gone to the point of no return. We are here tonight because of the mercy of God, who's worked on our behalf, who's worked in our lives. And the very fact that we come together in unity and oneness, and that we have the word taught to us, is a clear sign that God has got a remnant around the world to himself. And this remnant is going to be prepared as a bride adorned, waiting. Are you finding more and more that in your everyday life and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a sense and a feeling of now waiting, waiting upon God, waiting. There's an expectation. There's about something to happen. We find that the Spirit of God is causing us to look up more and more as our redemption draws nigh. Brothers and sisters, that's the deeper life teaching that you have been taught over the years. You have been taught to trust God totally by faith. God has presented to us the opportunity, the goal in which to live and walk and trust God by faith. And we all know we're on a journey in that. We all know that we are a work in progress. But that is what he has presented. And he won't let that be altered. He won't let it be watered down. We find at times we go and we listen to other teachings and ministries and preachers. And yes, rightly so, if the Lord's anointing is there and blessing. Because we know that God is raising the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher. But we also know that very, very few really preach faith as the Bible teaches it. There's always areas and degrees of compromise. Or what if? But the deeper life teaching that has been given to us over the years and continues to be given removes all the what ifs. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible. A-double-L. All. And that is what we hold to. And we dare not deviate upon that or compromise. And so we find the deeper life, the overcomers, the first fruits, their rewards waiting for those who are faithful to the end. Because you see, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed with regard to the teaching of the deeper life. To the time that you embraced it years back and a lot who read Deeper Life in the Spirit book, nothing has changed with regard to God's word. Yes, circumstances have changed. Some of the saints who embrace this, they're now in glory with the Lord. Some who met aren't meeting like they did, or whatever it would be. A lot of water has gone under the bridge, but I can assure you, the revelation of the deeper life teaching has not changed. For God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he changes not. And he has patience over us as we continue to overcome and to walk and to be faithful. He's long-suffering. He's patient and merciful with us, even when we slip up and make these mistakes. There is just something within us that can't live without this. There is something within us that can only have the full joy of the Lord when we come together like this and we are fed with that heavenly manna. There is nothing like it. And how the enemy wants to starve us and keep us away from that. But the Holy Spirit will not let that happen. For a very purpose, because in Revelation 12, as we know, the man-child is developing in the womb. And must have all that spiritual sustenance in which to be born. And we know the birth is not far away. So with all that's going on and with all that we're facing at the present time and all the euphoria and all the fear and all the doubt and the confusion and the unbelief going on with this plague, what is God saying to us? What does he want us to know? Well, we've been quite aware, haven't we, how the Holy Spirit has been speaking and how he's been showing us what we are to pray on, our spiritual warfare and so on. But we're also dealing with our faith and our confession. And what has our confession been like through this time? And that is the question. That's what I want to raise today. Turn with me, if you will, to something you know very well. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 13. 8 to 13. Romans 10. But what does it say? The word is near. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it goes on. So, our Christian life, our walk, our salvation is also dependent on our confession and what we say. In other words, we agree with the word of God. Our confession lines up with all the promises of God's word. And that is why sometimes, brothers and sisters, it's very helpful to sometimes confess or speak out those promises that you read in the word of God. Because all these promises are connected with your salvation, the new life, the new birth that you have in him. And so if we have that new nature within our hearts, within our very being, then we're going to speak from what is within. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the scriptures tell us. So we speak out what is within our heart. And that's why we labor in the promises of God. This is why we labor in the word, because we know that faith comes by hearing the word. And so as the word takes root into our very being, the parable of the sower, you cannot help but confess that and speak that out. These promises that are in this word that we labor in every time are to be sown into your life, into your heart, into your confession, into your prayers. When you speak the word, when you lay hands upon the sick, and when you cast out demons, these are the very promises that speak out from your heart, because the seed of these promises has been sown into your very heart. They are a part of you, and you are a part of them. You are joined to the word of God, because the word of God is Jesus. The word was made flesh, and he lives and resides and dwells within us. So if we receive Jesus, we receive his word, we receive the revelation of his word. We cannot be separated from it. So what has been coming out of our mouths, particularly through this time, this plague that is affecting the world? Have we been confessing the fear and the unbelief that's coming out, that people are confessing? Have we been caught up with it? Or is our confession above it all? That is the question. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. These promises have no fear attached to them. Not only that, but they have no unbelief that is attached to them. The word of God, these promises are pure and undefiled to you and me. They are our deliverance. And God has a way of working the reality of these promises into our life as we speak them out, as we pray, as we agree, and as we listen to the word of God. Brothers and sisters, this is absolutely paramount, particularly now as the powers of darkness are raging. God has given you the authority to speak against coronavirus. God has given you the authority to speak against these fevers, these deaths. God has given you the authority to speak against the fear and confusion that is being created by all of this. The world is virtually shut down, and yet we're told that it is about 1% who actually are dying. Look what the enemy is doing through fear, through confusion. And God has given us authority over all of this. This is why I said that we go into our chambers at this time for this very purpose, that we can pray and intercede and supplicate, and that we can speak this word, speak these promises against the powers of darkness who have to retract. God has given us the authority to push back the powers of darkness. That is the authority of an overcomer. Now, either we believe this or we don't. Because my Bible says that the overcomers are going to rule and reign with Jesus. And they are going to return with him to rule and reign on the earth when he comes. Well, if that is the case, and that is what you are destined for, then something within you will start rising up even now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If that is what we are destined for, then we put this in action now. We are deliverers with him. And the enemy tries to keep us fettered, keep us down, keep us distracted, keep our minds and eyes and heart on other things. And then we find we start confessing like the world and confessing the fears and the confusions. The enemy is so subtle. But you know, praise God, I want to show you something to encourage you. You may say to yourself, oh, Pastor, I know what you're saying. I know it's true, but I have such little strength. You just don't know how weak I am. And you just don't know what's going on or going on in my family and what sort of week I've had or anything. Well, praise God. There's nothing new to that. There's nothing new to that. And I want to encourage you, if that's how you're feeling, turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. You know this very well. This is the faithful church out of the seven churches in Revelation, the church of Philadelphia. And look what it says in verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true. That's exactly what we've been talking about, haven't we? That he's true, his word is true, he doesn't lie. He who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. In other words, no door is going to shut us up from overcoming, from entering in into this deeper life and walk in the Spirit. There is no door going to shut this, even though the devil tries to do it in our lives. It's not going to happen. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door. He repeats it again. And no one can shut it. For you have masses of strength. Oh, you can conquer the world. You can run a marathon. You can start a multi-business work or whatever it is. No. You have little strength, but have kept my word and have not denied my name. And that is what gives you the strength. That is what is commendable in the eyes of God. Weak, ineffectual. Feel like running away. Feel useless. What do I play in the body of Christ? What role do I play? Pathetic. No, he says, I know all of that. I know that you've got little strength. I know that you have fallen. But something within you cannot deny my name, cannot deny the deeper life, the walk of faith. There's just something within us that won't let go of it. And that is Almighty God in your life. That is the sign you've been called from the foundation of the world. He goes on, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. What does that really mean? Those who talk about it, those who say they're Christian, those who say they walk by faith, yes, who embrace it. We've heard them, haven't we? We've heard all the great speakers and talkers and everything. We've seen them. We see them come online, don't we? Oh, I'll come on again. When is the next meeting and everything? We never see them, do we? Very few. That's what it means here. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. So in other words, God is going to reveal to these people that he has set his seal, his love, upon us. And they are going to see it. And they're going to realize that they could have been a part of this, but they walk by emotions and feelings and not by faith. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. There we are. The tribulation, the great tribulation. He says, I'm going to deliver you from that hour. I won't let you go through that. Because I've seen that you have been faithful. You've been faithful with that little strength. But I won't let you go through that great tribulation. I'll take you unto myself. That will test the whole world who dwell on the earth. Because in that day, the world is going to be tested like it has never been tested before. It's going to be even greater than even the flood in the time of Noah. with what is going to come on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Rewards, position. A crown is for royalty. A crown is for a throne. That's what it means. And he's going to give us that. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. So you make part of the temple. You are those pillars. You hold the strength. Pillars speak of strength. And that's what he's making out of you and I. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So there we are, the Philadelphian church. That is the church that overcomes. That is the church that will be raptured. That is the church that will be arrayed, ready for the coming of the Lord. And we note that that church has little strength. And that is why God calls the foolish of this world in which to confound the wise. And because the Philadelphian church has little strength, it means that you then are totally, utterly dependent on him. Your little strength throws you entirely upon the Lord. And that's what he wants. So that we can stand and endure in these last closing days. I believe that we are beginning to see something profound that Jesus spoke of in Matthew. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 25. I know you know this very well, but this really keeps coming to me just lately. And again, just been looking at it to remind oneself the parable of the 10 virgins. Matthew 25, verse 1. Let's look at this. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So it's at the end. Now, five of them were wise and five were foolish. I want to add that the 10 are virgins. That speaks of purity. It speaks of being Christian. There are a lot who teach this today who say that the five wise are Christian and the five foolish are not believers. I don't believe that. It says they are virgin. That speaks of purity. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So they had the lamps, and the lamps have got oil, but they don't take something with them, because it goes on. But the wise took of their vessels with their lamps. So the wise took not only their lamps with oil, but vessels filled with oil. And there is the difference. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was made, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." I just want to stop there. Now, we believe, spiritually speaking, the oil speaks of anointing. So there's the oil of anointing over those who prepare. They hear that the bridegroom's coming. They light their lamps, because that's what they did with those marriages in those ancient days. They lit up the path so the bridegroom could see his way to walk, to go and take his bride. And why he's coming, we see that lamps, some of them start to go out and others remain lit. And the lamps that are going out, they want to know, where can I buy that oil? Where did you get this from? Because my lamp is going out. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Just like God shut the door upon the ark. They're off trying to buy and get that extra oil so that they can come in to the marriage feast, but the door is shut. That is why, brothers and sisters, you get that extra oil, the oil of anointing. That vessel is with you so that you have enough for the last days as Jesus is coming soon. And there we're going to see a separation. And the overcomers will be the ones who will go up and be with the Lord. Not all, I believe, professing believers will go up in the rapture. But those who have prepared, those who have followed the Lamb, those who have the oil of anointing for the last days, who are in the Word of God and in prayer, consecrated unto the Lord, walking by faith and obedience. That's what it means. They're the ones that will go through. We are going to see this happen spiritually, brothers and sisters. There is going to be a separation. They're going to start to ask, why is it I haven't got what they have got? Why is it I'm not believing and in faith like they are? Where did you get this? I want this. I need this because I'm not going to be able to stand otherwise in the last days. I believe we're going to see something spiritual amongst the house of God that's going to happen like this. Don't let it be found of you. Make sure that you have that vessel with you, filled with the oil of anointing, the oil of preparation, the oil of endurance, faithfulness. That is what is needed for the last days. What did Jesus say as I bring this now to a conclusion? He spoke about all these things that would happen in the last days. So what is going on with this virus, this plague that's going around? There's nothing new about this. Jesus spoke of these things that are going to happen. And he speaks and warns us for the very fact that we don't get caught up in the fear and the confusion and the unbelief that is going on in all of this. You can cut the atmosphere with a knife with fear and confusion. And as I said, I heard somebody say yesterday, only 1% out of all of this actually die. And yet the world is paralyzed by all of this. What did Jesus say? You know it. Matthew 24, 1 to 14. Then Jesus went out and parted from the temple. And his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, what will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceive you. Now notice what they ask here. Sometimes we forget this. He says, tell us what these things will be. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? In other words, this dispensation, the end times, right at the end. That is what Jesus now is going to speak about. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. There's the first thing he comes out with what he's going to say after that, because he knows that the enemy is out to try and deceive. And he goes around like a roaring lion. And what do we battle with more than anything is deception. The enemy trying to deceive us, to trick us and everything. But greater is he that is in within us than he that is in the world. So there we are. Jesus warned of this. For many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And history is filled with that. They are in churches today deceiving the people. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Fear. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. We're moving, I believe, into all of this. Verses 6 and 7. This, I believe, is now happening. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. And we sense that sorrow. That confusion, depression, oppression, mental problems. People are sorrowful, confused. It's all happening. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That's been going on. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. That's going on. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And of course, the false prophet will finally come. And I don't believe we're far away. Who will point the people, the nations, to the Antichrist. And because lewdness will abound and the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. There we are. That's what we spoke of with the Philadelphian church. Little strength they have, but they are faithful. They stay with it. They endure. They don't compromise. They're not following all these different teachers and so on. So many. Gosh. It's just unbelievable how many of them can be so gullible following these people. Can they not discern their left to their right hand? No, because they want to hear what they want to hear. And boy, will the devil cater to that one. No, when we are taught the word of God, very often we don't actually want to hear it in the flesh. It's not always easy. It can offend. But it is spiritual food to the inner man. And that is the difference. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. And that is what is happening. The word is going forth in these last days. So we need to be in faith. We need to guard our confession. What we say, what we believe in these last days. Don't let us confess the fear and the confusion that we hear, particularly now and with this plague that's going around the world. Coronavirus does not belong to you or me. God has given us authority over this, to speak against it. It's from the pit. We know it's man-made, but demons, the enemy, works behind all of this. And we know that Jesus spoke of these things that will happen in the last days. The latest thing that's coming out now, just like the enemy, They're now speaking about the side effects that you will have with this that can affect you or even stay with you. Does it ever stop? No, it won't with the powers of darkness, but God has given us authority over all of this. This is why our warfare is spiritual. We push this back. I was praying today and led by the Spirit to come against fear over this country that's paralyzing this country, pushing it back. No wonder the devil doesn't like it. No wonder the devil tries to suppress us and keep us down. But he cannot, because Jesus has overcome and we have also overcome. And that is why we have the promises of God that are our promises. And we confess these promises that we learn. We make them part of our confession, our prayers, our intercessions. That is what it's all about. We confess God's living word against all of this. And you watch. God will be faithful. God will preserve your family. God will preserve your neighbours. He will keep them from this. Because he's faithful, he will answer your prayers. Mark 11:24 says, "Wherefore whatsoever thing you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." That is what Jesus said. As I bring this to a close, I want to leave you with something that Haggai says, the minor prophet, the book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 22. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 22. "I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother." That is what the Lord is going to do and is doing. I will shake heaven and earth. And I believe that shaking, he's doing it. And we're seeing it right now, globally. There's a shaking going on, and God is going to shake and shake and shake and shake and shake until nothing is left except those who confess and love the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the Lamb wherever he goes, and he will make his enemies his footstool. And he will make his enemies also your footstool. And that is why he has given you authority over the powers of darkness through the mighty name of Jesus and through the blood of the Lamb. It doesn't matter whether you feel weak, ineffectual, or whatever it is. God has put power in your confession, in your mouth. And when your confession lines up with God's word, you have been given the authority to speak that against the powers of darkness, to push it back. That is what God is requiring from us, and particularly now in this time. Because I believe God wants to bless this country. I believe there's something God is going to do for a season, because we're out of Europe. We've been separated from that. God has given us a revelation, an understanding of this. And the enemy wants to try and destroy it all. But your prayers are going to prevail before the throne of grace on behalf of this nation, that the Spirit of God will move again, and that we will see a mighty work of God before finally the overcomers, the wise virgins, are caught away up in glory. I believe it's worth hanging in for. It's worth being faithful, staying with it, because God will not deny us. He will be faithful. He is jealous over his glory, over his name, even far more than you and I are. And what God decrees will come to pass, because he is sovereign. And that is why he's speaking to us. That is why he's showing us now. And that is why it's so important to understand, as I close now, that the address in the book of Revelation to the seven churches of Asia Minor, each of them, the Spirit of God says, hear what the Spirit says. And that is why we make so much of Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing. And God is speaking. And he will speak to those who have an ear to hear. We learn the promises of God because they change our life and our confession. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for bringing us together in fellowship today. Thank you for speaking to us, encouraging us, helping us on. When, Lord, we've all felt fatigued, weakened, at times wondering what this is all about, what is happening, where are you, what are you saying? Oh, Father, you never leave us. You never forsake us. You're all the while there encouraging us and helping us on. How important it is to have our prayers guided and led by the Holy Spirit. Please do that, Father, we ask. Help us to be sensitive, to hear what you're saying. Help us to encourage and pray one for another. And Lord, above all, give us that boldness that we will speak out when it is required or needed. Help us, Father, not to be ashamed that what we are seeing at present is judgment. But Father, we pray your mercy over this land. Your mercy, Lord, over the government, over the compromising church. Oh, Lord Jesus, Father, remember those through the centuries who have been faithful to the word of God, to the missionaries that we've sent out, probably more than any other nation in the world, where we were one of the first to receive the revelation of the word of God. Father, forgive us that we're so heathen, so hard of heart. Nobody seems to be interested. But Lord, you do have a remnant, and you hear our prayers, you hear our cries. Lord, I pray that you will touch hearts, you will touch lives, you will touch families. You will cause the rebellious to turn away and follow the Lord Jesus. You will cause the defiled, the murderers, the thieves, the drunkards, those that are on drugs, Lord, touch their lives, that they may turn away and look to the Lord Jesus. Nothing is impossible with you. And so, Father, we thank you. Thank you for our meeting tonight. I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep all my brothers and sisters. Keep them close to you now in this hour, we ask, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. slumber nor sleep. The Lord, He is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Keep you.